Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 12, Chapter entitled The Killing of the Demon Agasur, Text Number 4. Phala Prabala Stavaka Sumana Pichadhatubi Kacha Gunja Mani Swarna Bhushita Pia Bhushayan. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: although all these boys were already decorated by their mothers with ornaments of kacha, gunja, pearls and gold, when they went into the forest, they further decorated themselves with fruits, green leaves, bunches of flowers, peacock feathers and soft minerals. Since there is no purport, we take to the next verse. Mushnanto anyonya shikhya din gyatan arakt chikshi chikshupu tatyas tatrasyascha punardura dashnantascha punardadhu. Translation: all the coward boys used to steal one another's lunch bags. When a boy came to understand that his bag had been taken away, the other boys would throw it farther away to a more distant place, and those standing there would throw it still farther. When the proprietor of the bag became disappointed, the other boys would laugh, the proprietor would cry, and then the bag would be returned. Purport: this kind of playing and stealing among boys still exists even in the material world, because this kind of sporting pleasure is present in the spiritual world, from which the idea of enjoyment emanates. Janmadi Asayataha, Vedanta Sutra 112. This same enjoyment is displayed by Krishna and his associates in the spiritual world, but there the enjoyment is eternal, whereas here on the material platform it is temporary. There the enjoyment is Brahman, whereas here the enjoyment is Jada. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to train one how to transfer oneself from the Jada to the Brahman, because human life is meant for this purpose. Athato Brahma Jigyasa, Vedanta Sutra 111. Krishna comes down to teach us how we can enjoy with Him on the spiritual platform, in the spiritual world. Not only does he come, but he personally displays his pastimes in Vrindavan and attracts people to spiritual enjoyment. Begging for the blessings of all the exalted Vaishnavas here, so that you can attempt to serve Srimad Bhagavatam by glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hear this beautiful narration enters into the killing of the demon Agasur. And previously, Krishna has been dragging that mortar, the grinding mortar, between the two trees. And many coward boys are again discussing that how is this? Two trees have collapsed. These are huge Arjun trees, which have very strong roots and which are very ancient trees. How is that a grinding mortar, and that to Krishna, tied to it, could have made those trees fall? So they began to inspect. Were there some termites at the bottom of the tree, at the roots? Because the coward boys would say that it is Krishna who did it. And they had no awe and reverence, therefore they didn't say it with great excitement. They just casually said, because Krishna used to do these things every day. So it was another event, another pastime for them to witness. But the other elder gopas, they never would be able to see Krishna killing or destroying or eliminating these demons. So they always had a doubt whether this young baby would ever actually be able to do it. But circumstantially or coincidentally, it would always be Krishna, where there would be some killing of demons and falling of the trees and the demolishing of the cart. So they were a little bit concerned that it is somehow the Krishna who becomes the center or the synergizer of the activities here. But somehow or other they decided that we should just pray to Lord Hari and pray for the safety. And anyways, because Hari was so pleased with their son, with their beautiful Krishna, so nothing has happened. And this time it is mentioned here that after this leela has happened, Krishna would always decide to move to the forest of Vrindavan. Krishna would play with the boys, the gopas, every day in the forest. And he told to Nan Maharaj that, "I would like to herd the cows or calves." And he said, "I would like to herd the cows." But when the boys were still in their Pauganda stage, the Komara stage, up till 5 years, they were not allowed by Nanda Maharaj to tend cows, because then cows would have to go farther in the pasturing grounds to graze green grasses. So Krishna, they would not allow him to go farther in the forest of Vrindavan. So they decided to give the calves, where the calves could not travel further distance, so that they would be staying very in the vicinity of their house. But then Krishna wanted an excuse. Of course, he was showing one by example that even if he was the king, the son of the king, it was still the highest duty on part of the covered community to serve the cows and calves. So Krishna was showing by his example himself, though he could have employed, though he could have delegated, and he could have done, the service is done. But he himself took pleasure in serving those cows. So Krishna and Balaram would go with the gopas with an excuse of tending the cows, but actually they wanted to play all day long. So they wanted to play in the forest of Vrindavan. So many different games they have played. And the covered boys would sometimes play the blind man's buff. And then sometimes they would play with various amalaki fruits. And then they would, typically the baseball type, they would throw the ball and then someone has to hit with the stick. So that was a further more difficult than cricket and baseball, to play with the stick. And that's how the wonderful sports originated. They would be imitating the voices of various animals, cuckoos, chakoras, various birds that would be cooing in the forest of Vrindavan, and then they would be smiling and joking. As it is mentioned in the Krishna book, that they would sometimes go in the well, and then sometimes they would see their own shadow, own reflection, and they would shout loudly, and then when they hear some voice, they would become afraid from the echo of the voice that they generated. And this was the kind of innocent play that the cowherd boys in Vrindavan would play every day with Krishna. And here it is mentioned that one day, this kvachit vanashaya mano dadat vrajat. So Krishna in this case, very early on, decided to enter into the forest of Vrindavan with a purpose. Because along with the play, there was a little interruption by the presence of the demon Agasura. So Krishna wanted to reserve his playing time, and killing time would be a little extra. So he got up a little early in the morning. And that's how he got up Pratha Samuthaya Vayasya Vatsapan. And he got up in the morning, and Prabodayan, we're discussing that, how Krishna blew his bugle horn. And when Krishna would play the bugle horn, only the gopas would hear the sound and not the gopis. Otherwise the gopis also would want to come to the forest. So Krishna would know exactly whom he wanted to call. So when Krishna would play the flute, then the gopas would not know, or the cows would not come running in the forest of Vrindavan in the middle of the night. So Krishna's calling was a very typical, like a cellular call, where a call can be made to only one person and the other person cannot hear. So it was a very heart-to-heart call that Krishna was calling each of the gopas, and the gopas actually did not want to leave Krishna the whole day. They were constantly in separation from him, and in fact Mother Yashoda would be complaining the gopas when they go back home after tending the cows. They would be seeing that we want to still be with Krishna. So then they would go back in night, they would not get to sleep, they would come back to Mother Yashoda and would say that we want to see your Kana and we want to see if we can still play. And Mother Yashoda would scold them, come back tomorrow morning, don't disturb my dear baby. So it is said that Mother Yashoda would be trying to feed Krishna, sitting Krishna on her lap. And then when Krishna would not eat, then she would say that, you eat this, and if you eat this nicely, your hair will grow long like Balramji. And then, in fact, when Mother Yashoda, then he would eat and then he would say that, no, the thing has happened. And Mother Yashoda would just laugh. Other pastimes, like Mother Yashoda would be telling Kana not to go far in the forest. And then she would tell there's a demon called as Hau Bilau, a very, very, very dangerous Rakshasa with a man-eating features. So then Krishna would say that when I took incarnation as Matsya, I never heard of this demon called Hau Bilau. He said, fine, that's okay, but when I took an incarnation of Narsimha, I didn't hear about this Hau Bilau. Where is this demon? And Krishna enumerated all the dash avatars to Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda said, you go to sleep now. And Mother Yashoda would be really bathing in ecstasy. She would be in total absorption, in anxiety of always seeing to that how Krishna was being taken care, how Krishna was moving in the forest of Vrindavan. So here it is said that he blew his bugle horn and woke all the coward boys. All the coward boys were not sleeping. They pretended to sleep just for the pleasure of Krishna. If they all were awakening, then Krishna wouldn't have the need to sound a bugle horn. But then Krishna would make that sound of the bugle horn. The gopas who were pretending to sleep actually now awoke, and they all went to seek the association of Krishna. And it is said that, in fact, this is how Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports or one of the book, Light of Bhagavat, that how when the spiritual master awakens his disciples in the morning for the Mangalarti, right, the sound of the bugle horn can be compared to the awakening of the spiritual master calling for his disciples, especially Brahmacharya disciples, to wake up and to attend Mangalarti. So, Srila Prabhupada was actually spreading this Krishna consciousness by sounding the bugle horn of Hare Krishna Mahamantra loudly, the sleeping Westerners. And then the sleeping Westerners he brought together and sounded together with all the gopas. Actually, gopas and so many of the Westerners came together and awoke the Indians for the Mangalarti. So basically this Srila Prabhupada was actually awakening all of them, not just his associates. He was actually making all of them associates of Krishna by actually awakening the sound, vibration. And when Prabhupada was in the 26th Second Avenue, in that time this Timothy Leary was a LSD guru. And he was like very much prominent, where they would want to get high on realizations. But then they would come back, they heard the chanting actually made them go high. So they came to Srila Prabhupada's discourses to hear the chanting, but with a little skepticism. So these were the Millbrook Center candidates. So they all came together and they asked Srila Prabhupada that, Swamiji, you are saying that this chanting will help you go high, but what about LSD? Prabhupada said this LSD is an artificial method to awaken you, or maybe to get high on the consciousness, but ultimately you get down. So they asked, they actually came prepared to challenge Srila Prabhupada. So they asked Srila Prabhupada, have you taken LSD that you are telling this, you actually get down? You haven't. So then they knew that Prabhupada would not, and Prabhupada was in a checkmate position, that he would say no. And they would say, how do you know that LSD actually makes you come down? So then Prabhupada told them, I have not taken LSD, and I have not even taken cigarettes, tea and coffee. So he preached a little extra also. So then they said, so then they all became very confident and said, how do you come to know then these LSD effects are temporary? He said, Srila Prabhupada, very wittingly, my disciples have taken and they all come down. And you can ask my disciples. And then that was not said. So, Hari Kriya Prabhu, you speak. So then he told how actually LSD makes you go up and actually you're so miserable when it comes down. And then similarly, Umapati Prabhu at that time also told how this LSD comes down. Actually, this chanting makes you go up all the time and remains, helps you stay on the top. So they spoke like this, and all of these people were little flabbergasted by Srila Prabhupada's wit. They went back, but the devotees got a little inspired. They got a little inspiration that why not propagate our chanting on these lines, that no more coming down. Because that was the psyche of the hippies there. So how to strike a connection between the sound vibration and their interest? So these two of them made a poster: stay high forever, no more coming down. And that historical poster was made: stay high forever. And some other, that picture of Srila Prabhupada with his hand on his head and a psychedelic background. This was like an amazing thing. So Prabhupada was sounding the bugle horn of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and was making them always stay on the top. And they wrote too many things that, you know, how this is not going to help you, how this LSD is. So they wrote a little against LSD and said, Srila Prabhupada, what do you think? But that's all right, as long as it helps. So this is how Krishna and the calves would be going straight, proceeding to the forest of Brajbhumi. And it is said that Krishna vasair asankhyatair, these were unlimited amounts of calves. Now when Krishna would move from the forest of Vrindavan, there would be his own cows, and there would be calves of so many gopas. But when they would enter in the forest, these all calves would become together, they'd all merge, and actually they all be together. And that's how Krishna showed how his interest was in the interest of his devotees. That's how a devotee also does not merge himself in the pleasure, in the sense the merging of the identity, but tries to merge one's interest in the interest of the Lord. And all the calves became all united in one full swing, and they all took the calves, that they all tended the cows as one unit. So Krishna was showing the necessity of Sankirtan, that though we may all be coming with our own identities, our own group of followers, as we actually progress in Krishna consciousness, we will make a lot of followers. But the idea is to actually merge the interest of the followers into the interest of the Lord, into the interest of Srila Prabhupada's mission. So together we are like a one mission. But then in one sense, when actually Krishna is leading us, Srila Prabhupada is leading this mission, so we are actually together in one group. And that's how the pastimes of Krishna with the calves and the cowherd boys are so pleasurable, because Krishna sees the power of unity. But then this there are so many various interests and various opinions in the association of such devotees, where everyone has a particular idea of serving Krishna. That we will see here. When the cowherd boys actually went to the forest of Vrindavan, they were decorated with their mothers, by their mothers, with ornaments. Ornaments were kacha, gunja, pearls and gold. But when they actually went to the forest of Vrindavan, they made additional decorations on the turban of the Lord, and they would take leaves, flowers and fruits, and they would all decorate the turban of the Lord. And each gopa wanted to decorate the turban of Krishna in a particular way, right? Some other, we have also this wonderful opportunity to serve Krishna and actually behold that form where devotees also want to put so many things on the turban of the Lord, and you see so many leaves, fruits, flowers and so many other wonderful decorations. Srila Prabhupada told the devotees that we must serve the deities very gorgeously. One must decorate the deities very gorgeously, then one will be very gorgeously decorated oneself. So actually Prabhupada was saying that deity worship is very personal. Krishna is a person. He is giving such a wonderful opportunity to reciprocate with him, and Once in Mayapur, Jayaprataka Maharaj brought to Srila Prabhupada's notice about an article in newspaper in Bengal, Mayapur, that these devotees actually were serving Krishna and this Radha Madhava in Mayapur with so much of bhoga. And along with that, it was the winter season that there was a lot of cold. So they had a heater. So they had a heater in the pujari room, in the altar. So they said that what is the need for the Lord to have a heater? Does actually Lord experience cold or even warmth, or even does Lord eat so much? Prabhupada said this is their conception of unlimited. For them, unlimited means 6 rasgullas. That is their conception of asankhyata for them. How much a person can eat? Unlimited height, unlimited rasgulla. How much? 6. But Krishna can eat unlimited coconuts. Prabhupada said, that is the meaning of unlimited. He can enjoy unlimitedly. The idea of God as supreme controller, the idea of God as supreme creator, the idea of the Lord as the supreme maintainer is there. And therefore we have all conceptions in various religions of these kind of conceptions. But the idea that the God is supreme enjoyer is so difficult to digest. Therefore Krishna starts with the shloka, Bhoktanam Yagatapasam. I am first the enjoyer. And therefore, because I am the enjoyer, therefore all these things are meant for my enjoyment. And therefore you offer worship so that you can actually be participating in my enjoyment. So it's so difficult to accept the Lord as a supreme enjoyer, because we also want to be a little minute enjoyers, separate enjoyers. So that's how the gopas would actually take these leaves, bunches of flowers, and tuck into Krishna's turban. Now each gopa wanted to decorate Krishna his own way. This is called variety, right? It is not that everything, everyone should dress and everyone should decorate Krishna, everyone should serve Krishna in a way that is decided and premeditated. That's how Krishna offers variety. And sometimes in the moment, also Srila Prabhupada would have this difficulty of handling so many devotees having so many different backgrounds, different understandings of how to serve Krishna. So once, I think, so in Mumbai, this Bombay, there were devotees, actually they were traveling from Juhu to downtown Mumbai here. So many devotees, Westerners, would take taxis. And then Yashomati Nandan Prabhu would say that, why do you want to take a taxi? Why don't you take the local train? The local train journey. And they would say that this is how we should actually try to save money for Krishna. So he went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this is how they are squandering money. They are not having value for Krishna's energy. So Prabhupada said to him, so you are, they are all come from the Western background. They are so much conditioned. So they have not much adapted to this, but yet still they are surrendering so much. So you spare them. But you yourself become strict for yourself. You travel by train. And you save Krishna's energy. And Prabhupada actually told both of them in a way that both were pacified and both actually were trying to engage according to their previous cultural layer of conditioning. So there are so many devotees who would have different perceptions depending upon the different samskaras, different conditionings, cultural layering. And Prabhupada invited this variety as a kind of a challenge, as a kind of a stepping stone to appreciate Krishna's service more and more. So Prabhupada told Achyutanand Prabhu once, Swami that time, go to Delhi, sweet meat bazaar, and go and taste all the varieties of namkeen and mithai. Just to make him understand that there is so much variety in Krishna consciousness. And nothing is stereotype. Nothing is like bracketed, and nothing is a benchmark. The benchmark is there, but the benchmark is that of service in unity and cooperation. And therefore everyone is included in that umbrella of Srila Prabhupada's shelter. So then he went, and actually he was a little sick. Because he was sick, he was not appreciating variety. And therefore he was sick, he could not eat anything. So he came and told Prabhupada, actually I could not eat anything also, but it was really so much of variety. Prabhupada said, this is Krishna consciousness. We may be sick, and therefore we may not be able to appreciate variety. And therefore Krishna appreciates, because Krishna has the capacity to enjoy the variety. And he loves variety to enjoy. So for every devotee that wants to serve Krishna so sincerely, Krishna wants to taste that particular rasa and wants to reciprocate with that devotee in a unique way. So therefore, the tucking of the various leaves, though the leaves, flowers, fruits were the same, but they had different pattern of decorating Krishna in the turban. Like we have everyday darshan of Radha Gopinath, they are never the same. They are always different. Because there is so much variety that Krishna wants to enjoy. So, that's how Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purports of the Prachetas, who are united together in service of the Lord. And then Prabhupada writes on this wonderful purport that there may be disagreements in the association of Vaishnavas due to variety of opinions of how to serve Krishna. But that disagreement is simply a sign of variety in Krishna consciousness. Can you imagine Prabhupada could turn a seemingly conflicting opinion and conflicting perspectives as a kind of opportunity to glorify Krishna? Is an amazing purport. And then Prabhupada said, though there may be disagreements in the society of Vaishnavas, and both are right, but there is no disunity amongst devotees. There is unity in the purpose of that they are collectively serving Krishna according to their particular proclivity. So Prabhupada was very much open-minded. That's how actually Prabhupada spread the movement all over the world. If Prabhupada was able to succeed in the United States of America, it would have been difficult to do it in India, if that was the same model applied. When Prabhupada came here, he started a life member program. And he made so many life members, and that's how they were giving donations and they were giving their lives also. Prabhupada wanted in this way, that sometime in Montreal they had no money, in fact. So actually Prabhupada was thinking how to do. These are all going to do our job and maintain a temple. So they are supposed to be brahmanas, and at the same time they are to be working and maintaining the temple. And Prabhupada decided that they should go and collect money from the local Indians. So then Prabhupada actually, when he came to the West, if he went to India, he introduced not the street chanting as very public. He introduced a very refined kind of aristocratic program where people will give money, respect and their commitment, and still they would be able to connect with the Krishna consciousness movement in a very dignified way. And therefore he started a life membership program, because that's the faith of the Indians. The trust Prabhupada actually got by actually, they wanted to be a part of it. So this is how the gopas would actually decorate Krishna so wonderfully. And then when it was the time to come back, they would be actually in separation from Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada actually taught this very early on in the movement, how to serve Krishna in separation. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada was sick, he had to go back to India. So he was actually leaving back, and all his disciples were thought that Prabhupada will be only in New York. They didn't have an idea that Prabhupada would go back to India or go to Montreal or some other place. So they were actually in separation. They were in total devastation. And Prabhupada was telling them, actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is there. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is there. They are like your father. They are your grandfather and great-grandfather. So they will take care of you. And therefore, the grandfather is more merciful. So you are under their shelter. And Prabhupada was talking that, see, actually, you are chanting Hare Krishna. You are chanting Hare Krishna here. I'll be chanting Hare Krishna in India. And we are all packed together in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We are all united. We are all always together in the chanting of the holy names. So seemingly, there is always separation amongst how to have intimacy amongst devotees. But in the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we can actually be intimate with everyone, with all the devotees, because we are all packed together in the holy names of the Lord. Why? Because the purpose of chanting Hare Krishna is to give pleasure to Krishna. And when each one of us is in that same mood, that consciousness of giving pleasure to Krishna, we are all together, united, like the calves and the cowherd boys in the company of Krishna. So on the conscious platform, it is very easy to serve in this mood of separation, but that enhances the mood of devotional service with intensity. So, and intimacy, both of that. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to teach that very highest ecstasy of service in separation. So therefore, Prabhupada mentions here that Krishna comes and shows and displaces Vrindavan pastimes. That very same pastimes of Vrindavan was displayed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by exhibiting that mood of intimacy and intensity by service in separation. And Prabhupada actually made it so tangible by giving us the movement, by giving us the Mahamantra, by giving the association of devotees, by giving service in the preaching mission. And actually Prabhupada told them, I will take Kirtanananda to Vrindavan and show him all that beautiful place. This is not like this place here. This place is so unbecoming. It is, Prabhupada said, there are no motor cars, there are no noise, there is no smelling. Prabhupada told that. There is no smell. As if like Prabhupada would actually smell something in New York also. And that people would say it's not dirty, it's not unclean. This Vrindavan is completely full with Hare Krishna chanters, chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, so many Vaishnavas. And I will tell Kirtananda, when I show him all around, he will realize how difficult it was me to leave Vrindavan. Prabhupada told him, told all the devotees. So actually Prabhupada was not just actually giving them the feeling of separation from him, he was also transmitting the feelings of separation which he had for Vrindavan to his disciples, though they were not even capable of handling that service in separation. But he was actually presenting them, though you may not understand, but if you just see a glimpse, then you will come to know. And then Prabhupada told, I am also feeling for my Guru Maharaj now, as you are feeling for me. So Prabhupada never felt that these disciples are my disciples, they are feeling separation, so I must sympathize with them. Prabhupada was enhancing their mood of separation by saying that I am also feeling separation from my spiritual master. So your feelings of separation, feeling for me, is genuine and bona fide. And you must actually maintain these feelings of separation and try to serve spiritual master with the mood of trying to please him. And then Prabhupada told him, I will take Rai Ram to this place, to Japan, I will send him to this place and that place. And Prabhupada was still expanding. He was giving them the idea of service in separation means to preach Krishna consciousness, what they have got. And that's how Prabhupada told. Prabhupada saw some mural, a painting of Indian women on the airport, holding pots. And he told the newly wedded wife of Hans Duta Prabhu, Himavati, that Himavati, if you come to India, I will teach you how to hold these water pots. Do you want to try? And then that's how Prabhupada endeared them to coming to Vrindavan, to making their home in Vrindavan. So then Kirtananda Maharaj at the time had a portable battery operated speaker, and they had a record of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So he started to play that mantra in the airport. And then Prabhupada told him, get louder. Let the bugle horn be heard by everyone. So then after some time the record started playing and everyone started to chant along with the record. It became a kirtan in the airport lounge, and Prabhupada was sitting relaxed, as if like that was Vrindavan, not feeling as if this is the airport. And after some time Hansa Duta Prabhu was thinking, I want to do some service as my spiritual master is departing. He had a strong desire to serve Srila Prabhupada, and he was thinking, what should I do? So Prabhupada just glanced at him and he wanted to say something to Prabhupada, and he said, and then when the kirtan ended, he said that, Prabhupada, can I go out and collect some donations? And then as soon as the kirtan ended, he borrowed a hat from a soldier and took the hat and started collecting from everyone. And then when he collected this Lakshmi and offered to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, so my traveling is now auspicious. We had distribution of Harinam, and we also had acceptance of this contribution. So my journey will be auspicious. Finally, Srila Prabhupada actually departed in the flight, and all the disciples were actually completely, Prabhupada gave a glimpse of what service in separation is. in such a natural and in such a wonderful way. So this is how the Brajvasis would experience separation from Krishna every day. In fact, Krishna would go to the Kaliya lake and actually want to, he actually left Balaramji, and Balaramji would not be able to see that pastime. So actually he made the gopas unconscious by the vapors, the poisonous vapors of Yamuna. And then actually when the pastime was over, when Krishna came back and from the Yamuna, he actually glanced the gopas and they all came back as if they were just dreaming about Krishna. So these very wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan are simply meant to enhance the unity, cooperation amongst devotees, understanding the variety of Vrindavan, how Vrindavan is full of variety, varieties of rasas. Actually that whole variety of rasas was experienced under Giriraj. When Lord lifted the Giriraj Govardhan, there was Shantaras, there was Dasiras, there was Sakhyaras, Madhuriras, Vasalaras, and they're all enmeshing, wonderfully interacting, ultimately giving enhancing pleasure of Krishna. So this is how Vrindavan is full of variety, full of unity, full of cooperation, full of separation in service of the Lord. And that same benediction, that same fortune is awarded to us by Srila Prabhupada in the form of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, in the form of variety of services, in the form of variety of engagements, in the mood of uniting together to please Srila Prabhupada. This is actually Vrindavan pastime. If we are in the mood of the service and separation, which actually we can get a glimpse from Srila Prabhupada's life, the entire life was service and separation. It was lifetime in preparation and service in separation. And Prabhupada's whole lifetime was to prepare to serve in separation from his spiritual master. Hardly met his spiritual master. But actually his spiritual master, he always felt that he never was separated from his spiritual master even for a moment. And that's how actually he saw his desire of his guru in everywhere, in everything. And Prabhupada said that that's how to transform the jada into Brahman, the enjoyment, to see everything and everyone as being connected to Krishna. And when we see everything connected to Krishna in the mood of giving pleasure or trying to serve the spiritual master, vevasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana, then Krishna will be certainly pleased with our endeavors. And that is the only way to experience spiritual ecstasy, by serving the spiritual master in the mood of separation. So the gopas here are going to feel separation of Krishna for a long time in the mouth of Agasur. So Krishna is preparing the gopas to serve in that mood of separation. And in fact, Krishna also enhances his own happiness by being away from the devotees. And that's how we'll be saved from the danger of being very familiar with the process of bhakti and with the participants of devotional service, by developing that respectful intimacy. And that's how bhakti is all about, developing these wonderful moods. These are simply my ramblings, and maybe some things maybe genuine because of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes which were spoken. Otherwise, these are just expectations of myself from myself. So I hope we all can help each other and help each other to appreciate this wonderful mood that Srila Prabhupada has given very delicately, very wonderfully. And it will be really a lifetime of appreciation for us, for Srila Prabhupada, what he has given to us. So in this appreciation and gratitude, if we can give our life to Srila Prabhupada, to understanding his mission and to serve him in that mood of separation, it will be our great credit. Thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai. Any comments by Radha Gopinath Prabhu to correct those ramblings and mumblings? Any questions? Granth Rav Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.